The following account is taken from Thomas Prince's Christian History, Continuing Accounts of the Propagation and Revival of Religion in Great Britain, America, and so on. Saturday, October 13, 1744. The Reverend Samuel Blair's account of the revival of religion at New Londonderry in Pennsylvania. About a time of sickness she had had, concerning about which I inquired of her, she told me she expected pretty much to die then, and was very joyful at the near prospect of her change, and sensibly grieved to find herself recover again, chiefly because that while she lived here she was so frail and sinful, and could do so little for the Lord's honor. I was with her in the time of that sickness, and indeed I scarcely ever saw one appearing to be so fully and sweetly satisfied under the afflicting hand of God. She manifestly appeared to lie under it with a peaceful serenity and divine sweetness in her whole soul. In a word, her whole deportment in the world bespeaks much humility and heavenliness of spirit. One of her Christian friends, a man of about 50 years of age, was removed from us by death in the beginning of May last, of whom I can give some broken and perfect account which perhaps may be of some use. His name was Hans Kirkpatrick. He was a man of a pretty good understanding and had been, I believe, a sober professor for many years, though he had not been very long in America. After the work of religion begun so powerfully amongst us, I found in conversation with him that he believed it to be a good work, but seemed very unwilling to give up his good opinion of his own case. He told me of some concern and trouble he had been in about his soul in his younger years, but yet the case looked suspicious that he had got ease in a legal way upon an outward form of religion. At another time, being at his house and taking up a little book that lay by me on the table, which I found to be Increase Mather's Dead Faith Animatized and Self-Justiciary Convicted, he said to me, that was indeed a strange book as ever he saw, and that according to that author it was a great thing indeed to have a right faith that was true and saving. Another thing, then, it was generally supposed to be, or to this purpose. He seemed to me at that time to be under more fears about his own case than I had observed in him before. Not long after this, as he was hearing a sermon one day, the word was applied with irresistible evidence and power to his heart, so that he saw himself as yet in a perishing, undone case, whereupon the distress and exercise of his soul was so great that he fell off the seat on which he was sitting and wept and cried very bitterly. A little after this he went to Philadelphia, at the time of the meeting of the Synod, in hopes that perhaps he might meet with some benefit to his soul by hearing the ministers preach there, or by conversing with some of them. He told me afterwards that while he was there, and as he walked the streets, he was unspeakably distressed with the view of his miserable condition, so that he could hardly keep his distress from being publicly discerned upon him, and that he seemed sometimes to be even in a manner afraid that the streets would open up and swallow up such a wretched creature. He told me of his trouble, and his very sweet relief out of it, in a most moving manner, under a very fresh sense and impression of both, but the particulars of his relief I have quite forgot. He was afterwards chosen and set apart for a ruling elder in the congregation. He died of an imposthume and gradually wasted away for a long time before his death, and was for about 2 months entirely confined to his bed. He told me that for some time before he was laid bedfast, he had been full of very distressing fears and jealousies about his soul's state, but that soon after he was confined to his bed, the Lord afforded him his comforting presence, cleared up his interest, and removed his fears. After this he continued, still clear and peaceful in his soul, and sweetly and wholly resigned to the Lord's will until death. While he had strength to speak much, he was free and forward to discourse of God and divine things. One time, as two other of our elders were with him, he exhorted them to continue steadfast and faithful to God's truth and cause. For he said, if he had 1,000 souls, he could freely venture them all upon the doctrines which had been taught them in the congregation. One time, when I took leave of him, he burst out into tears, saying, I had been the messenger of the Lord of hosts to him, that the Lord had sent to call him out of the broad way of destruction. For some days before his decease he could speak very little, but to all appearance, with a great deal of serenity and sweetness of soul, he fell asleep in Jesus. There have been very comfortable instances of little children among us. Two sisters, one being about 7, the other about 9 years of age, were hopefully converted that summer, when religion was so much revived here. I discourse with them both very lately, and both from their own account and the account of their parents, there appears to have been a lasting and thorough change wrought in them. They speak of their soul experiences with a very becoming gravity and apparent impression of the things they speak of. The youngest was awakened by hearing the word preached. She told me she heard in sermons that except persons were convinced and converted, they would surely go to hell, and she knew she was not converted. This set her to praying with great earnestness, with tears and cries, yet her fears and distress continued for several days, till one time as she was praying, her heart, she said, was drawn out in great love to God, and as she thought of heaven and being with God, she was filled with sweetness and delight. I could not find by her that she had at that time any explicit particular thoughts about Christ as a Redeemer, but she said she knew then that Christ had died for sinners. She told me she often found such delight and love to God since as she did then, and at such times she was very willing to die that she might be with God. But she said she was sometimes afraid yet of going to hell. I asked her if she was troubled at any time when she was not afraid of going to hell. She said yes. I asked her what she was troubled for then. She said because she had done ill to God, meaning that she had done evil and sin against God. Some time after, the first found comfort. One night when her father and all the rest of the family, but her mother and herself, were gone to a private society, she said to her mother that the people were singing and praying where her father was gone, and desired her mother to do the same with her. And after they were gone to bed, she desired her mother to sing songs which she had memorized, for she said that she did not want to go to sleep. Her sister was brought into trouble about her soul that same summer by sickness. It continued with her some time after her recovery, till one day coming home from meeting, as she heard some people speaking about Christ and heaven, her heart was inflamed with love to Christ. She says that when she has Christ's presence with her, she does not know what to do to get away and be with God. Their parents told me that for a long time they seemed to be almost wholly taken up in religion, that no weather through the extremity of winter would hinder them from going out daily to buy places for secret prayer, and if anything came in the way that they could not get out for prayer at such times as they inclined and thought most proper, they would weep and cry. Their parents say they are very obedient children and strict observers of the Sabbath. There are likewise other young ones in the place of whom I know nothing to the contrary but what they continue hopeful and religious to this day. Revival of religion in other parts of Pennsylvania and the neighboring countries. This blessed shower of divine influence has spread very much through this province that summer, and was likewise considerable in some other places bordering upon it. The accounts of some ministers being something distinguished by their searching, awakening doctrine and solemn, pathetic manner of address, and the news of the effect of their preaching upon their hearers seemed in some measure to awaken people through the country to consider their careless and formal way of going on in religion, and very much excited their desires to hear those ministers. There were several vacant congregations without any settled pastors which earnestly begged for their visits, and several ministers who did not appear heartily to put their shoulder to help in carrying on the same work. Yet, when yielded to the importunities of their people in inviting those brethren to preach in their pulpits, so that there was very much called abroad and employed in incessant labors, and the Lord wrought with them mightily, very great assemblies would ordinarily meet to hear them on any day of the week, and oftentimes a surprising power accompanied their preaching, that was visibly among the multitudes of their hearers. It was a very comfortable, enlivening time to God's people, and great numbers of secure, careless professors and many loose, irreligious persons through the land were deeply convinced of their miserable, perishing estates. And there is abundant reason to believe and be satisfied that many of them were in the issues savingly converted to God. I myself have had occasion to converse with a great many up and down, who have given a most agreeable account of very precious and clear experiences of the grace of God. Several even in Baltimore, a county in the province of Maryland, who were brought up almost in a state of heathenism without almost any knowledge of the true doctrines of Christianity, afford a very satisfying evidence of being brought to a saving acquaintance with God in Christ Jesus. Thus, sir, I've endeavored to give a brief account of the revival of religion among us in these parts, in which I've endeavored all along to be conscientiously exact in relating things according to the naked truth, knowing that I must not speak wickedly even for God, nor talk deceitfully for Him. And upon the whole, I must say, it is beyond all dispute with me, and I think 'tis beyond all reasonable contradiction, that God has carried on a great and glorious work of His grace among us. I am, Reverend Sir, your very respectful son and servant, Samuel Blair.